Welcome, everybody. So glad to have the Wards here from Oklahoma. Yeah. Yeah, it's their family. Their family. Yeah. Yeah, if you're on Joanne's prayer list, you get a text every day. It says praying, praying, praying. Title of my message today is Set an Example. She sets an example, as does Greg. Greg Langer, same thing. If you're on his prayer list, you get a text about 4:30 in the morning. I don't have my phone in my room, but they're setting an example about. And every time I get that, it's a reminder of that these people are faithful. These people are faithful, and they're not the only ones, but that's something tangible every day that you know you're being prayed for. And I don't know about anybody else, but I need it and I appreciate it. And I know the rest of you do. So Set an Example is our title today. And I said it last week and I'll reiterate it again today. Lord is doing a work in us. He is He's calling us. He's calling us as a body to not settle for whatever we experienced in Him yesterday or last month or last year or 5 years ago or 10 years ago or whatever year it was we came to know Jesus. He's saying, as I said last week, the title of my message last week was Come a Little Closer. And He's still saying, Come a Little Closer, Come a Little Closer. And this message sort of just grew out of that call that He's saying, I want you to be an example, and 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 I want you. And there's no one left out of that equation. If we have a relationship with Him, your assignment is be an example. Be an example. And this scripture, 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, gives you even specific arenas, venues, specific areas of your life where I want you to be an example. Don't let anyone look down on you because of your young. Now, this passage was written to young Timothy, you know, saying, hey, you know, you're young, but that doesn't mean you can't be an example. And those of us who are no longer in that category, we aren't exempt. We aren't exempt. Set an example for the believers. How? In speech. So let's just pause with each one of these because I want you to just get everything about this message is going to apply to these five specific areas. So I'm going to break that down for you even right now. Set an example for the believers. In speech. What comes out of your mouth? I heard, oh boy, yeah, which, hey, you know, this is the Word of God. This isn't, you know, and let me tell you this from the beginning, we all fall short. You know, this is not a message of condemnation if we look at this and say, oh gosh, I say, oh boy, because I know I have work to do. We all have work to do, but the reality is He's calling us to do the work that's required. He does most of the work. He does most of the work. We just have to cooperate. So I don't want anybody walking out and saying, man, I have problems in all five of these areas. We are works in progress. We have not arrived. But at the same time, if the Lord's saying anything to us, He's saying, do not settle on what I did for you yesterday. Do not settle on yesterday's relationship. I am calling you closer. I am calling you deeper, which means I'm also calling you into greater accountability. I'm calling you into greater accountability. I'm calling you to be about what I'm about. The world is going crazy. We say it all the time. I say it all the time. It's crazy. Nobody knows where to turn. The gospel, Jesus, the church is part of that, has answers. Has answers. But He's starting with us. He's always starting with us. He's refining us. He's refining us. So set an example for believers in speech. What do I say? What comes out of my mouth? My grandsons 2 years old, and he repeats everything he hears. So far, I haven't heard anything that has made me go, oops. Or maybe ask Caitlin and Aaron, what are you guys saying? But he repeats everything he hears. We were on a walk last night, and Connie, one day, when they were on their walk, she said, Mimi's tired, Mimi's tired. So now he says, Mimi's tired, Mimi's tired. So we were on a walk last night, and Connie's like, I'm hot and I'm tired. Mimi's hot and she's tired. He's 2 years old. Your children hear what you say. So set an example for believers in speech. Set an example for believers in conduct. What you do. And hopefully what you say and what you do match up, because they will notice if you say one thing and you do another. Set an example for believers in love. How do you love? We sang that song, new song today, great song. Send me and I'll do it because you love me and I love you. I'm going to do it because you love me. You love me. And I don't want to share that. Set an example for believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith. In faith. How does your life demonstrate that you have faith in Jesus? What does that look like to your children? How does that look like to your coworkers? What does it look like to your neighbors? What does it look like to strangers that you happen to see in the store? Set an example for believers in purity. A lot I could say there. There's five areas. Set an example. He's calling us to be an example. He's challenging us. He's told us this year, our word this year, set apart. Why? Because I want to refine you. That doesn't mean we're locked up in a closet somewhere. It doesn't mean we're shut off from the world. There may be periods of time where we are. But it's because he's refining us. He's doing his work. Are we letting him do it? Have we gotten, is that message of being set apart for a reason resonating? This is his work. And the world is crying out for something that is true. And they're going to see it as we allow ourselves to be set apart. We allow ourselves to be an example. Again, we sang song, Send Me. And I will say, send me only if I'm ready to go. Only if I'm going to be used. If I'm going to mess this up somehow, get me ready before you send me. But he always does. He's not going to send us if we're not ready. And we don't have to be perfect to be ready. Bobby Cato was in our open door class this morning, and he had to leave his sons in soccer as a soccer game late this morning. Because I said I may have you share that, and he said, "Well, I'm going to have to leave." But he said, Bobby and Bethany are the leaders of our remnant group. Our remnant group is a group of 20-somethings, 30-somethings, married, single, doesn't matter. But they lead that group, and he said one of the things that we've been doing to challenge ourselves and challenge one another is to pour into one another and to make ourselves ready for whatever's next. And he used the reference in scripture to those who live at, who give 30%, and those who give 60%, those who give 90%, and we're not talking about finances necessarily, we're just talking about giving themselves of Jesus. And he said, how can, and he said, the Holy Spirit challenged him, he said, how can you ask of them to give 60 when you're only given 60? Give more. Do more. allow yourself to go to that next level. And he said, whatever level that is, allow yourself. And he's saying, talking about being an example, he said, we're in a time when the Lord's saying, go that next step. Go that next step. And I believe this is a work in our body. You know, I don't know what's going on in every other body, but I know he is not letting us rest on any laurels of the past. We have an amazing history here. Pastor Don and Pauline built an amazing work. And hopefully we're carrying that on, but he's never gonna say, okay, you know, you guys have arrived and just settle for that. No, he's saying, I want to stretch you. I want you to be the example in this world that is so crazy out there that if people are looking for a place to find out truth, that somebody out there saying, hey, go there. Go there. Not because we're all that, not because we're all that we think we have every answer to everything, we don't, but we're going to listen and we're going to speak the word. So Paul in Philippians says these things, and we know these verses. I don't think most of you in this room are going to hear any verse that you haven't heard before. Some of you, maybe it's new to you, but it's important in this context. Paul says this, join together, this is Philippians 3:17, join together in following my examples, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. So he's saying there's value in looking at those who are putting faith into practice. You know, hang out with people that are doing this. It's a way to grow and learn. Hang out with people who have been through things in life in their walk of faith. Hang out with them because they have things to teach you, not just with their words, but how they do things. And then Paul says this earlier in the chapter 3, whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ Jesus. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his suffering. And so I share that those verses because they came before this verse where he says, follow my example. You have us as a model. Paul is not being conceited. Paul's not saying, I'm all that, so follow my example, that I'm the best at this, follow my model. He's not saying that because he's all that. He's saying that because he's doing it as all unto Christ. He turns it all to him. That my example comes from him and only him. I want to know his power and participation in his suffering. So he's saying, you're following my example of following his sufferings. Well, you might have some suffering to do. And because I know many of you in this room pretty well, I know most of us have had suffering in our life. To this you were called, we see in 1 Peter. Because Christ suffered for you, leaving an example. How do you go through suffering? And again, how do you go through suffering with what you say? How do you go through suffering with your conduct? How do you go through suffering in your faith and your purity? Jesus himself said, and I referenced this last week, he says, come to me, the invitation to come a little closer, come. And he says, learn from me. Well, how do you learn from Jesus? Well, read the scriptures first. Read the scriptures, then hang out with him. Spend some time with him. And some of you may say, well, what does that mean, spend time with him? He's not here. Go in a room somewhere and just start talking to him. Or go for a walk and start talking to him. He'll show up. He'll show up. He walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me I'm his very own. And let me tell you, when you know that you're his very own, it's the most liberating, freeing thing you'll ever experience in life. To know that you belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Master of the universe. And in the middle of all of this in life, all of this chaos and confusion and you know, joy sometimes and, you know, victories and defeats and all of that, we belong to him. So he says, come to me, learn from me. And then he says this in Matthew 16, 24, whoever wants to be my disciple must, what? Follow him. Follow him. So if I say I'm his disciple, and I am, that means I follow his example. Again, I read in the scripture, what does he say? What are his teachings all about? And they're all about how to live. They're all about how to live. And then you apply that. You apply that. Following Jesus is not rocket science. There's actually simplicity to it. But it requires of us. Not that we're earning anything. Anybody that's saying we're earning points, or it's not about earning anything. We can't earn anything. But we benefit by obeying him. There's benefits that are only available through the body of Christ. There's things that he brings to our life that are available only because of him. That apart from him, no one will ever experience. The first thing is just the vastness of his love. You think you know about love apart from him? It's a smidgen. It's a smidgen. Set an example. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ, is what Paul says. I urge you to imitate me. Again, that's not an ego speaking. That's not saying I'm all that. In fact, it's kind of dangerous when you realize the suffering. I mean, again, have you read about Paul? Have you read some of the things he went through? Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me, he says in Philippians 4, 9, or seen in me, put it into practice and the God of peace will be with you. Put it into practice. Put it into practice. Put it into practice. So again, we read the scriptures to get to know what was Jesus like? What's the require of me? And then we start to do it. What's this? In this case, he says, hey, there's peace to be had when you do what I tell you to do. Again, the world's looking for peace. They're looking for answers. You have it. I have it. Set an example. Set an example. Ask yourself, is there any reason anybody who's looking at my life would want to follow, would want to come to me for guidance or counsel? Or is there anything, and I'm not talking about me personally, but personalize this to yourself. Is there anything about what I'm doing that might be inviting to somebody? If you're married, what does your marriage look like? I remember before I was married, and when Connie and I think we had met and we were planning to get married, I remember thinking, I want our marriage to look like something that points people to Christ. The way we care for one another, the way we live our life, the way we raise our children. I want all that to point to Jesus. And I recognize we're going to do that imperfectly. What's your marriage look like? Somebody look at it and see something that says, I want to know how that works. And we have so many great examples around here. So many great examples. In Titus, we read this, encourage the young men to be self-controlled in everything. Set them an example by doing what is good in your teaching. Show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say. Set an example by doing what is good. Not because good works are going to earn us any place. It's not it. It's not the point. The point is doing what is good is an offshoot of this relationship that we have with Christ. It's part of his instruction. Serve people, care for people, reach out to people, give to people. Not because we're earning anything, but because I love Jesus. What would that song say? I do this because I love Jesus. I serve because I love Jesus. I love because he loved me first and I love him back. It's all connected. It's all connected. So in 1 Thessalonians, Paul starts with this kind of a prayer. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and our Father your work produced by faith. So he's encouraging the church at Thessalonica. He's encouraging these people that, hey, I'm praying for you every day, and we thank God for you. Your work it stems from your faith. We can see this cohesion. You have faith, and there's a work that has been produced from that. And he's applauding them, and he's encouraging them. Then your labor prompted by love, that he's acknowledging that what they do comes out of their love relationship for God first, and then one another. And your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. You've been through things, and you've endured. And so he's acknowledging this. He's putting these words down. So for we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. And so he's applauding them. But then he goes on to say this. You became imitators of us. So again, Paul's seeing fruit of his labor. And he's encouraging them and challenging them. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. That's what we're talking about when he says, set an example. I don't know about you. I want what we see happening in here. Gloria said, set yourselves apart for me because I want to do a work. And perhaps part of that is so that you can be an example everywhere out there. I love that we get to minister to one another. And again, that's part of what he's saying to us in this day is minister to one another, encourage one another, challenge one another, spur one another on, all these things. I said it last week. Let's be tangible. And we're going to keep doing this at the end of services. We're going to be saying, keep stepping out, keep reaching out to somebody because he's doing a work in us for a purpose. The purpose is ultimately out there. It's ultimately out there in your workplaces, in your neighborhoods, in your streets. Where some will maybe never step foot in the building until they come to know Jesus. It could be he's saying, be a model to the believers in New Waterford and in Columbiana and East Palestine and Lisbon and Latonia and Salem and New Galilee, Pennsylvania. We have New Galilee, Pennsylvania people in the room, so that's not some random... Wherever it is that you live and you recreate and you shop and you work, be an example. Be a model. Be a model. Because there's people who are watching. There's people who are looking. There's people who are hungry. And he said, I'm setting you apart. I'm setting you apart. And again, it's not for us to pat ourselves on the back and say, oh, the Lord is setting us apart. Aren't we all that? No. He's setting us apart to say, I want you to bow down to me. I want you to be fully submitted to me. Because that's how I'm going to use you. It's out of that relationship, that bowed down, submitted relationship that I'm going to use you. That I'm going to say, I want to send you here. It's where you're going to hear that voice. It's not amid all the noise. In Romans 8, I thank my God through Christ Jesus for all of you because your faith is being reported all over the world. Wouldn't that be awesome? We know the Lord has used this work in Slovenia. From random divine appointments that Pastor Mark has had working at the Canfield Fair. Your faith is being reported all over the world. Oh, man. Love for our faith, our faith being so strong in him and so committed. That's being reported in front of a people we don't even know. Again, not for us to pat ourselves on the back, but we're that committed. We're that committed. We're to set an example, to be an example. Romans 16, 19. Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I rejoice because of you. It's rejoicing because fruit, there's fruit in his labor. I was reading, this is from, y'all know Lori Ashley, Lori Crow Ashley. They've been in Montana this week on vacation. And she, when they were leaving there, they have a Elliot, young Elliot. And she was saying that when, she started out her little post, when they first got Elliot, they adopted Elliot, that their prayer was that Elliot would be used of God, that he would be an example. Be an example of the love of Jesus, and he'd be full of, here's what she wrote, that he would be full of God's love with a kind, friendly heart and be a blessing. And so when they were getting off the plane, he wanted to go over to the flight attendant and hug her. And she had a picture of that he went over and hugged her. And she was reminded in those moments of their prayer that this little boy would be an example of God's love. And she then wrote this. She said, it made me think, how can I show God's love to others, to the people I meet throughout my day? As a Christian, I have what the world needs: hope, salvation through Jesus, grace, mercy, peace, love. It's time to share the benefits with a world who is starving for the truth. It's our responsibility to introduce them to him. And I thought, oh my goodness. I mean, in a week when I knew he said, set an example. She's out there writing, I want to be an example. I want my son to be an example. I want my husband to be an example. I want to be an example. So this idea that wherever we go, whatever we do, our life is not our own. Being set apart for a reason. To be an example. To be an example. What does that look like? What does that look like in your speech? What does that look like in your conduct? What does that look like in how you love and how you live out your faith? And again, our faith is always growing. We're adding to it. At least that's the goal. That's the point. Don't settle for yesterdays. Don't live just message to message. What do you do when you're out of here? What do you do when you're out of here? So in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, we read these words, "Thanks be to God who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession." He always leads us. So let's start there. Personalize this. Thanks be to God. Thank you, Jesus, for always leading me in triumphal procession, wherever it is, whatever I'm going to be doing today, whatever is on my agenda today, whatever is on my schedule. Use me. Use me. He uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of Him everywhere. I don't know what the physical smell of Jesus is. I probably don't want to know that. I don't know how to describe that, but He wants something about you and me and us. And I think there's something about us together too. And I think that's tangible because we've had people say that. When I was there in that place, there was something about the way you guys love one another. Something about the way you guys care for one another. I've heard that expressed. And I believe that's tied to this idea that there's something about relationship with Him when we're doing it together that is tangible. And then he goes on to say, "For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing." So there's something tangible about that to those who are on their way to being saved, and there's also to those who aren't there yet. But he says, to the one, we are an aroma that brings death. To the other, there's an aroma that brings life. And so those that don't know him yet, the smell might not be great because it may be like, what is that? Because they don't know him yet. Haven't opened up to that yet. But know that there's something that's emanating from you and me. That is life affirming. That gives hope. That can demonstrate peace. When the situation doesn't look like it should bring peace. People have asked me over and over and over again since I had my heart surgery, you know, what was that like in that week when you found out? What was it like? What happened in your faith at that point? You know, was there questioning? No, because He's so good. He's so good. He did so many things immediately to remind me of how good He is and how He's for us, not against us. There was never a moment. There was never a moment where I was like, well, I would have liked to go on a vacation. Let me say that. There was that moment. Because He's good. Because He's good. Because He's good. And we go through things in life. And everything about what I went through is to bring me to this place where I know He's doing work in me, where it's for us to, for me to say, don't settle for yesterday. Allow yourself to be challenged in your faith. Allow yourself to know how good He is, that if He calls you to do something, He's got the plan already in place. And He's got the people to stand beside you. We are going to go through things. If you didn't hear Pastor Shane's message about everything he went through with COVID, It's available online. We're going to go through things, but He's good. He's good. I said the day before my heart cath, before I knew anything was even wrong with me, or the details of what was, they knew something was awry, but they didn't know what. But I said the day before my message, it's all for His glory, it's all for His glory, it's all for His glory. And it is. Even the hard things. Even the hard things. First Timothy 1. Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. This is the same guy that said, follow my example. And the gravity of that verse just points out that everybody's eligible to receive Jesus. It's for everybody. He said, but for that reason, because I was the worst of sinners, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display His immense patience as an example for those who would believe in Him and receive eternal life. The worst of sinners, Christ might display His immense patience. Do you know that your life is on display? What's it look like? What's it portraying? What's it demonstrating? As an example for those who would believe in Him. Because I know many of you, I know that's the desire of many of your hearts. That He would be so on display in my life that somebody looking, somebody watching, would become curious about my Savior. I don't have this verse up here, but I'm going to share. It's a verse I share frequently. We hear it around here a lot, both in here and I share it in the classes I teach because it's just a great verse. It's from Hebrews 12:1. It says, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Since we are surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses. And that verse begins Hebrews 12, so it follows Hebrews 11. And if you're familiar with Hebrews 11, it's called the faith chapter. It's about just one after another where he just goes through this whole list of people in Scripture that demonstrated faith and went through stuff, and some of them didn't get to even see the realization of the promises because they died before they came to pass. But one after another, one after another, one after another, and I've looked at that verse over the years. But as I've looked at it, I thought, man, we have such a cloud of witnesses around here, you know. And I've referenced this before. You know, I stand here and I look at Ernie and Janet Kessler back there. I look at Keith and Margaret Candle sitting right here. Look at Fran. I look at the Sloanes back there. And I could go around the room and I apologize if I don't mention you. Greg, you know, we already talked about Greg and Joanne with their prayer lists every day. I'm just reminded that we have these amazing witnesses among us. And so, you know, maybe you look in the Scriptures and you can read chapter 11 of Hebrews and you know, it's like, well, those are people I don't know. Those are people that, hey, those are great, great examples, and they're great accounts of things that happened in their life, and they're there for a reason. They're part of the Scriptures. I recognize, you know, the examples I'm giving are not part of the Scriptures, but they're part of the living Word because they're living it out. They're living it out. We're living examples. But we have examples among us. We have many, many examples among us. You know, you can't be in men of valor for very long and have us ask the question, who has influenced you, and have some of these guys' names mentioned. And so as we wrap up this time together, I said this last week. I'm gonna continue, and I don't know, you know, I'm not necessarily, you know, mandating this of the other pastors who, if they're teaching, but I want to encourage that as we close up our services, that we pour into one another, that we don't miss an opportunity to grab somebody by the hand, pull them out of their seat if that's what is required, and say, I want to pour into you, or let's pour into one another. Not even just make it about you know, you ministering to somebody else, but letting that be reciprocal. Because it's purposeful, and I believe it's purposeful in this particular time that we're living, because the Lord is, again, preparing us. He's preparing us for those 3,000 people that have yet to come to Jesus. He's preparing us. I said in open door class today, I always view sort of our time together here is, this is kind of practice for life in the world. You know, we're covered by love. We know we love one another. We know we care for one another. We know that we don't have to do everything perfectly, and we don't have to do everything perfectly out there either. But we know that if I say something stupid, which is pretty often, that it's covered. You know, that we're flawed individuals. So, you know, last week at the end of service, Pastor Shane observed this to me later. He said, it was so cool to look around the room. And one of the first observances he had about people stepping out was two young teenagers. Two young teenagers stepped out of their seat, and I don't know who prompted it, but one prompted the other or whatever, or they came together, but they ministered to one another. And then pretty soon there's just people ministering all over the room. And it's not complicated. I know there's three different people I got to pull out and just say, hey, I just want to pray for you. And what's awesome about it is the first person, two others came along. Two others came along with them. Second one was over here, and two others that were standing there with them came along. And there's something to be said about that level of care that says, hey, I want to minister to you too. And sometimes all somebody needs is just the invitation to say, come on, let's go worship together. Let's go pray about that matter together. Let's go worship, or let's go talk. Ministry takes all different forms. So this morning, as we close out, and we can have the worship team come on up, I mentioned some people here, and I want us to pray blessing. And so just go to some of these people, the Sloans back there. If you want to come forward, you can. Or if you want just people to come to you, we'll come to you. The Kesslers back there, the Candles, Keith's on the stage, but you can minister to Margaret and to Fran and to Greg over here, to Joanne and Ray, just simply because we're so happy to see them again. Come minister to them. Come minister to them. Come pray blessing over them. And anybody else that you see in the room that, again, ask Holy Spirit. This is Holy Spirit's work. If I didn't believe Holy Spirit wasn't at the heart of this work and the heart of what we say, what we do, I'd say, I'm not coming back. Let's just shut this down. But that's not the case. He's doing a work, and we are part of that work, and he's requiring something of us in that work. And all of you have a part in that. And so as we close, I'm gonna pray and just let Holy Spirit lead you. But I really specifically do want, because I believe Holy Spirit already set that up to say, minister, just pray blessing. These people, I mean, they serve and they serve and they do things during the week that most of you will never know what they do, who they reach out to, who they call upon, who they reach out to. And, you know, every one of them could say, and I don't know what the certain age is of all of them, but some of them could say, I'm at an age where I'm going to just sit back on, I'm just going to sit back and I'm retired. And Keith retired from his job this year, last year, and he's probably busier than he's ever been, you know. But this is stuff we get to do, and it's not complicated. It's not complicated. And it's not nearly as scary as it might seem. All three people last week that I got to reach out to, not one of them said, "What are you doing?" Not even Tom. When I did it as an example at the beginning of service. And like 3 years ago, he might have done that. He's like, "Get away from me." Set an example. Set an example. Are you setting an example? Ask yourself that question. Ask him honestly. Don't be afraid of the areas, you know, don't be afraid of the areas where he says, "Well, you need a little work in this," or "You need a little work in this." Because he's for us, not against us. If he's pointing out something, it's not because he's condemning you or criticizing you. He's saying, I want to do more, but we got to work on this. We got to work on this. Let's stand. So as we pray, just either go to these people, specifically the ones I mentioned, but again, there's others in the room who may just need you to walk up to them and encourage them. So either go to them or take them by the hand and say, "Come on, I want to pray for you." I know last week as you guys blessed us as pastors, and I don't even have words. I don't have the right words to even express what all that stuff means. We don't ever encourage Pastor Appreciation Sunday because we don't even want that kind of attention. But we appreciate it. I mean, we appreciate the ways you guys pour into us, but it's not complicated. I mean, when I walked down here last week and just saw that whole circle of, it wasn't all teenagers, but there was a lot. I mean, I think probably every teen in the building was down here. And guess what? Guess what? They were down here because someone set an example for them. And now what are they doing? They're setting an example for me. They're setting an example for many of us. Don't be surprised who the example is at times. Because he will use whoever is willing. And our teenagers are willing. Saw a couple of them up there this morning with the adult worship team. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. Our heart's desire is to be an example. And I pray that even as I'm praying, that people will just step out of their seat and go up to someone and go minister to somebody. We don't have to wait till I'm done talking. That we'll pray blessing. We'll pray blessing over the examples that are surrounding us. Examples of faith, examples of endurance. Examples of love, examples of grace and mercy, examples of service, examples of caring. So I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that this is your work. And we get to participate. We get to be used We sang earlier, send us, send us, send us. So I pray even now you'll send people to one another. You'll send people all around this room just to speak your word, to speak your words of encouragement. Show me your way, Lord. It's the words of this song. Show me your way. I pray as we spend this time in worship and conclude this time together that you'll just minister all around this room your love and your mercy and your grace and your provision. You get all the glory. You get all the glory for it. It's in your name I pray.